Chris Manicky.
Hi, this is Dr. Bass, a Carolina veterinary specialist.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I know you've been speaking with Dr. Bonin this morning and are updated about where we are currently medically with Champ's condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling you back as we had discussed to kind of talk about where we are financially.
Okay.
We've spent a lot of time over the last 2 days since I last spoke with you going over the records, going over the case, speaking with all the treating doctors, as well as Dr. Bergman, who's the medical director of the Matthews Hospital. And after all of that review, you know, trying to decide where, you know, are we going financially? And we just don't see that Dr. Merlot made an error with the information that she had that would cause us to be financially responsible for his ongoing care.
Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's deeper than just the ER doctor. I had called that afternoon at 5:45 because I was concerned about Champ's swelling, and I spoke with, I believe her name was Jen. She was one of the techs, mm-hmm. and we talked in detail about what was going on with Champ, and she told me as long as he was drinking and peeing that everything was normal. And it wasn't until I sent I even mentioned to Jen that I'd be happy to email pictures. And I was told that the email that you guys had was for referrals. And it was later that evening that I was getting concerned enough. I texted pictures to Champ's regular vet, who was out of town. I'm not sure if she was on vacation. I know her mom's been in the hospital. And she's the one who said, this just doesn't look right. You need to get him into the emergency room now.
Right.
And I got a very in-depth analysis from Dr. LaGrange, and she specifically talks to the fact that Champ was put on an antibiotic that he's already known to be resistant to twice prior. And that takes it back to Dr. Nanfelt. So I see it as there being three primary players in this.
Doctors?
Nanfelt, Jen, and the ER doctor.
Okay.
Whoever made the decision to put him on an antibiotic that they knew he had been resistant to twice prior, being told that as long as he was drinking and peeing, that everything, that the swelling was normal, and, you know, there was no need to bring him in. And then the emergency room doctor that physically saw the swelling and took his temperature that was above normal and sent him home with no further, there was no testing of glucose. There was no testing of any kind except his temperature. And nobody said it was elevated. And I was told everything is normal, and you sent him home.
And I do understand your frustration that Champ is not doing well. And obviously, we have been working very hard over the last several days to address the issues that he's had this week. And I know that you're aware that we're using some very strong antibiotics that are very expensive. We have a tremendous amount of time and materials invested in what's happening with Champ this week. And it's mostly due to a post-operative complication of an infection. And post-operative infections are a known risk of any surgery.
The fact still remains he was on an antibiotic that was doing absolutely no good. And it is in his record that he is or has been resistant to certain antibiotics in the past.
And that was a decision that was carefully considered by Dr. Nanfelt, and it's in her records that she consulted with other veterinarians. And so it wasn't that they didn't think about it. They did think about it, and they have rational decision-making process for why they did what they did in their best medical judgment at that time.
Okay, but then I called 24 hours later because I was so concerned about his swelling. And I was told, as long as he's drinking water and peeing, there's nothing to be worried about. And then several hours after that, I bring him in because his vet said, this just is not right. Get him into the emergency room. And so where does the red flag go off that, okay, they made a best effort call and put him on an antibiotic that they know he's been resistant to. He's got an elevated temperature. Something's not right.
Because I didn't see him on Saturday, and you were there, and you did speak with Dr. Merlot, and I have spoken with her, because the incision was dry and clean with no discharge or swelling, or not swelling, there was swelling, with no discharge or drainage.
There were two drops. Two, and when I called the tech, I told her there were two very small spots that they were not dripping. There was, it wasn't running, but there were two dried spots. And she said, that's nothing to be concerned about. That's normal.
And many incisions will have a couple of drops. Now, when we saw him here on Monday night and Tuesday and through this week, the amount of drainage has been excessive. You know, there was a lot of drainage by the time that he arrived here. It is very normal to have a small amount, you know, drops in the first few days after surgery. It is not normal to have the amount of drainage that we were seeing on Monday. A few drops is not something that is unusual. And so
maybe,
as we
maybe
look back through the record,
okay,
multiple doctors have looked at this. It's an unfortunate complication. It is. I wish that Champ was not going through this. But it is a complication that is a risk of any surgery that the incision gets infected.
It may be a risk, but nobody did anything about the risk. He was brought in on Saturday.
I disagree because he was on appropriate antibiotics based on
obviously he was not.
Specialists.
He was not. Read Dr. LaGrange's report.
I've
he's been resistant to amoxicillin twice prior, and a decision.
But you don't always grow the same bugs, and so the bugs that he was resistant to in his bladder might not be the same bugs that are going on in his leg.
Right. This
so
was on. This was in his eyes as well. When he came out of surgery from the cataract surgery, as soon as I reminded them that he was resistant or had been resistant to amoxicillin, they took him off the whatever it was that he was on and put him on something else.
Right. And all of that was actually carefully considered and discussed among multiple board-certified specialists when they chose his medications. They knew his history. They discussed it.
And they still chose to put him on something that did not work. So I don't understand how there's no accountability for a bad decision. And then the fact that he came in and, you know, I'm not faulting any one person. Something went drastically wrong to the point where my dog basically has no quality of life. And I was not even given all of the information about amputation prior to the amputation. He can't go through chemotherapy now. Nobody ever told me chemotherapy is like $5,000. And I was led to believe that because of all the tests that we did and that they didn't find anything in his lungs or his chest or whatnot, that taking the leg off cured, and cured is probably not the right word, but it got it. And he could go on and live a normal, happy life with three legs.
There are lots of notations that it was discussed with you that if he was diagnosed for sure with osteosarcoma, that his lifespan would be measured in months. And that's written in your record several times.
That's in something they gave me?
Yes. It's in Dr. Nanfelt's discharge instructions, I believe. And
well, I reread the instructions
noted.
Last night, and there's nothing that says his life is where I wouldn't have taken his life off to give him another month or two. And now, rather than putting him down peacefully, I'm going to have to put him down in pieces.
And I truly do recognize that that is distressing. Dr. Namfield has been doing this for a long time, and she doesn't do surgery without having conversations with people about what the possible outcomes are.
The discussion we had
also discussed with you the fact that if it was a bone cancer, that it would be a short-term post-operative survival.
Why would anybody in their right mind put an animal through that for another couple of months? That makes absolutely no sense to me.
It is a choice that people make, and if we try to make very sure that it's a fully informed choice, because it's a significant decision. And
no, the way it was presented to me is if after the ultrasound and everything else, all the testing, if the cancer was elsewhere in his body, that was the end of it. We were taking it step by step by step. And once that final test came back and his chest was clear, then it was presented as he's going to live a normal, happy life. I know his days are numbered anyway because of the diabetes, but I certainly wouldn't have put him through the major surgery and the risk for another couple of months. I would rather have brought him home, made him comfortable, and let Dr. Marshall come to the house and put him down. I would not have, that would have been totally selfish on my part to put him through that. And everyone keeps talking about the risk because he's diabetic. Well, that was all known prior to taking the first x-ray. And I will go back and look at his discharge papers, but I am fairly certain there's nothing in there that presents because I do know Dr. Nanfelt discussed with me chemotherapy. Well, if his days are numbered, why would I even put him through that?
Well, in most dogs,
and now I don't even have that option anymore.
Their time, but because chemotherapy causes suppression of the immune system, for Champ, it is certainly not our recommendation.
Not anymore, because that option's been taken away. And not because of anything I did or anything Champ did.
That option is taken away because he's susceptible to infection, and if we suppress his immune system, he will probably develop another infection.
And we knew that he was susceptible to infection before we cut his leg off.
Right, and that's something that was discussed.
Then why would she have discussed chemotherapy with me? Why would
if
she,
he had
knowing
through,
he,
if he had come through surgery without an infection and we felt his immune system was up to chemotherapy, it could have been something that we could have continued to have discussions about, continuing to advise you of the potential risks. It's something that we have to give you all the information and work with you to make a decision. At this point, given what has happened in the last week, chemotherapy is not something we would recommend after seeing his response to the surgery itself.
Why would you recommend chemotherapy anyway if he only has 3 months to live? Why would anybody subject an animal to that kind of treatment?
If you tolerate chemotherapy, it can significantly extend their survival time. Their survival time is still short, but it is extended with chemotherapy. And so that's why it's an option.
It says right here in his discharge papers, and it's in bold type, Champ already has some significant swelling, bruising, and redness along the incision. As we discussed when removing the limb, this is not an uncommon occurrence, especially when a patient's immune system is not as strong from chronic disease like diabetes. This swelling and fluid accumulation is typically self-limiting and will resolve with strict rest and incision care, see above. However, if you have concerns, please contact or return to a veterinarian. I did that. And you guys sent him home.
I understand. But it's very frustrating.
I'm just reading the rest of this because there was something else that... All this says about post, which of course was not discussed with me prior, under medications, it talks about a low dose of tramadol and gabapentin.
Right.
That he may need to be on that for the rest of his life, which tramadol makes him sleepy. So had that been discussed up, prior, why would I put my dog through that kind of surgery? Then he has to be medicated for the rest of his life. That makes him sleepy. None of it makes any sense to me.
And I'm sorry.
And it says right here under tramadol, this medication may cause mild sedation and lethargy.
And I'm sorry that you don't feel like you had a full grasp of his situation. We try very hard to give that to you. There is a lot of information that you're presented with all at one time. There are many dogs that take tramadol daily and either get used to it or were able to adjust the dose to the point where they don't have noticeable side effects. Those side effects are typically pretty pronounced when they first start on the medication. And then there are some dogs that it simply makes them too sleepy to take long term. But there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of dogs that take it on a daily basis for chronic arthritis, for example. And it can be very helpful for them and does not cause ongoing lethargy.
Chronic arthritis is not killing them.
No, but if you have one leg and that one leg maybe is uncomfortable for you, then sometimes you need
right.
a tramadol
for but
an extended
if you,
time
if
period.
You, if you have one leg and you have cancer and your days are numbered anyway, to what, sedate the dog for the time that he has
our goal would be for him to, in the time that he has left, to be as comfortable and as active and as interactive with you as possible. Our goal is not to sedate him. Our goal is to make him as comfortable and active and interactive for as long as possible.
Right, but if he can't be comfortable without being on medication that makes him sleepy, and that's not even the issue here. We're getting off track. The issue is not that he's potentially going to be on tramadol the rest of his life. He probably will be on tramadol for the rest of his life because his life has been extremely cut short, and I don't understand this position that nobody did anything wrong. He was put on a medication that did absolutely nothing for him. That was known going into this. Nobody thought when he came in to the emergency room, which my instructions tell me to bring him back to the emergency room, nobody seemed to think that an elevated temperature was anything to worry about, except every phone call I've had in recent days, when was it? Yesterday, Dr. Marshall asked me, if he was still running a fever. And I said, I don't know. So I called and talked to one of the techs. And she said, yes, he's still running a fever. It's 103 point, I forget what she said, 6 or 7 or something like that. So it's interesting how she referred to it as a fever at 103 point something. But because he was in the emergency room with extreme swelling and panting, it was put off as, that's normal. Knowing that he's resistant to certain antibiotics, and his breath was like fire. He was so hot, and nobody checked. They didn't even check his glucose. I don't know what they checked. Nobody has told me. I don't know of anything that was any vital sign that was checked other than his temperature.
Were you given any discharge paperwork from that visit?
I don't think so, because there was no charge or anything. I may have been. I'll have to go back through all my paperwork and see, but I don't think there was.
Do you have a fax number where I could fax you that discharge paperwork?
You can email it to me.
Okay. I think I probably have that somewhere in the record, but if you tell me that way, I make sure that I know what
it is. Okay, and what is it that's in there that you're
referring?
I mean,
it will have all of his vital signs, and it will have Dr. Merlot's comments about her exam. And information that you just said you were never provided. So if you weren't provided that information, I would like to provide it for you.
Oh, okay. Well, but it does me no good now. The point is, he had a fever, which is a sign of infection, when I brought him in on Saturday.
Right, but as we've discussed, that 1 degree temperature elevation can also be secondary to inflammation, which we all agree that he had. The swelling at his incision site is inflammation that can cause a fever. It can also be secondary to panting and stress and excitation, which is very commonly seen when dogs show up at the veterinary hospital.
That's the reason I brought him in. He didn't start panting on the way down there. He had been panting all night long.
And her opinion on Saturday morning is one that she is standing by, and she feels like...
And the opinion was wrong, because there is no question that the infection was already present. And I'm not faulting her. She made the best judgment she could, but it was wrong. Dr. Nanfelt did what she thought was right by putting him on an antibiotic that he has demonstrated resistance to twice in the past. And all of these factors should have given somebody a clue that something was drastically wrong on Saturday. So I'm assuming that when we last spoke, you said you were in touch with the insurance company, that is no longer true. And
well, the issue with that is that the type of insurance that we are looking at only applies if the doctor feels that they made an error. And because she does not feel that she made an error, there is not an insurance policy that applies.
Okay, then you're leaving me no choice but to consult an attorney and then go after this from a different direction, which I was hoping to avoid.
I understand that. And I wish that that's not the place that we were at, but I understand that that's how you feel.
I have no choice. You have left me no choice. I called. I was told there's nothing to worry about. Hours after that, at Champ's primary vet's insistence, I brought him in. And we even spoke with the doctor, because she used the word how angry the incision area looked. And I joked with her and I said, oh, that must be vet lingo, because that's the second time I've heard it today. So you've got his primary care vet insisting I take him down there immediately because she doesn't like the way it looks in a picture. And yet he was still sent home. And she can stand by the decision all she wants, but it was the wrong decision. Clearly, Dr. Nanfelt's decision to put him on an antibiotic we knew he was resistant to was clearly the wrong decision. And there's nothing in the documentation that I have that even remotely says, you know what, bring him back in 2 days. You know, I cut my arm several summers ago on the prop of my boat water skiing. And my doctor had me come in every other day for 3 weeks so he could monitor my arm for infection. There's nothing that the directions I have indicate to bring him back in 10 to 14 days to have the stitches taken out. There's nothing like, you know, I know we're taking a risk with this antibiotic again, but, you know, why don't you bring him back on Monday? Why don't you, you know, come back in on Saturday? Something. The fact is I called and I was dismissed for the most part and told as long as he's urinating and drinking water, which he still was on Monday. He was drinking gobs of water and he was still peeing. So according to what the tech told me, I shouldn't have even brought him in on Monday because everything was normal. And his temperature was no higher on Monday than it was on Sunday, on Saturday. Yet a different group of doctors believe something different because he was immediately admitted. They didn't have the results of a blood test back yet. They hadn't cut him open yet. But they knew that something drastically was wrong, and he was immediately admitted.
Well, certainly over a 2.5-day time period, his condition had changed significantly. He was a completely different patient Monday night than he was Saturday morning.
How so?
Because he had changed. There was a tremendous amount of drainage from his incision.
No, there wasn't.
You told me that on Tuesday, that it started draining when you got him into the car to come here, and by the time he was here, it was draining significantly.
No, there were two little spots that I thought maybe I, you know, in picking him up, I squeezed him. It wasn't running. It had already dried by the time we got there. But aside from that, he had that when I called on Friday afternoon and spoke to the tech. And she said, as long as it's not dripping, then that is normal. So everything physically Monday was the same as it was on Saturday. But he was still admitted. His temperature was approximately the same. I don't have the numbers in front of me. The swelling was just about the same and probably had gone down a little bit, actually. And actually, it did. The swelling had gone down some, but it was now into his back leg. So there was a little bit of difference there, but overall the swelling, especially around his penis, had gone down quite a bit. So the only difference was that he was not eating. And I was concerned that he wasn't eating because I wasn't able to give him insulin. And that's why I brought him in.
I understand. And all that is, you know, makes him a complicated patient because now he's not eating and he's not had insulin over the weekend.
Right, but
no,
he did not have insulin on Monday. He had had insulin over the weekend. He did have his medication over the weekend. He didn't have it on Monday. And what the tech told me on Friday was as long as he is drinking and peeing, there is nothing to worry about. So, and on Monday when I brought him in, he was drinking and he was peeing. Everything was exactly as it was physically on Friday and on Saturday when I brought him in.
And I do understand your frustration. Unfortunately, as we've reviewed the records, there is not one single fault. There's not one thing that...
No, there's a lot of fault.
and
there's a lot of fault. There's at least three definite
complications that is a known risk of the procedure.
But there was nothing done to reduce the risk. He came home on an antibiotic he has shown resistance to on two separate occasions. I brought him back in because I was concerned, and nothing changed. There was no blood work. Did they pull blood on Saturday? No. They took his temperature, which was significantly elevated, and that nobody thought was important. Nobody even thought it was important to tell me.
Do you want me to email you that discharge paperwork?
Yeah, you can email it to me, but I'm telling
you,
the doctor, it's my first initial last name, C. Manicky, okay. At cbmdesign.com.
The N is in Nancy?
CBM.
N is in mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Design.com.
Got it. Okay.
But
so
the important thing here is I'm not the doctor.
I understand that.
You know, a doctor saw 103.8 and made a decision to send him home. Knowing he's a difficult case, knowing he's diabetic, knowing his record certainly would reflect that he's been resistant to certain antibiotics twice in the past and chose to do nothing. And when I brought him back in on Monday, physically, nothing had changed. In fact, the swelling in his abdomen had gone down, but there was swelling in his hind leg. The reason I brought him in is because he would not eat, and therefore I couldn't give him insulin, and that was the only reason I brought him in, because the vet said as long as he's drinking water and peeing, there's nothing to worry about, but he can't get insulin without eating. So if he was eating on Monday, I wouldn't have even brought him in, because I would have been like, okay, everybody said this is normal, when in fact it's not normal. There was infection present, and there were two opportunities to do something about it, and yet nothing was done.
Obviously, we have been working very hard this week.
And I appreciate that. And I would expect nothing less.
And so I understand your concerns. And as I've said, we've discussed this with multiple veterinarians, and the feeling from the hospital is not going to change. That the vets that saw him and made those decisions are standing by the decisions, and they feel like they made the best decisions at the time.
Okay, then you are leaving me with no choice but to pursue this from a legal angle. And I'll eat my words. If we go through the process and a court of law determines that putting him on an antibiotic that he has shown resistance to twice and sending him home with a fever and such profuse swelling was the right decision. So if they want to stand by that, that's fine. I understand that. I don't respect it. You know, it's unfortunate that no one is willing to step up to the plate and say, hey, we made a mistake. What can we do to make it right? I'm losing my dog because of incompetence. And the thing that makes me so angry is he could have gone peacefully last week. And you guys took that away from me, and now I'm going to put him down in pieces.
And I'm sorry.
I just pray he survives long enough to come home and be made comfortable where I can put him down honorably.
I am sorry that you guys are going through this. I truly am. And obviously we will continue all of his care and communication as far as I know we're trying to get him home this weekend. And hopefully we'll accomplish that.
Right. Well, now I question, are we sending him home just to get rid of him? It's not our problem. We're not taking responsibility for him.
No,
so
you're
I will
come in and you're going to meet with one of our doctors at discharge, and we're going to need to schedule that so that your questions are answered. And as you leave this facility, you are completely comfortable with him going home and you understand how you need to care for him.
You know, the other thing I forgot to mention is when I brought Champ home after his leg surgery, he started walking out toward the car. He didn't even make it out of the building. And he sat down and would not budge. They had to come out with a gurney and pick him up and take him back into the back. And I went out to the car, and 20 minutes later, they brought him back out. I don't know what they did or didn't do, but I think they went back and checked blood glucose levels. But there was, in hindsight, that should have been something was not right then. Because they came out, they were like, we've never seen anything like this. And they didn't even try and walk him back into the back. They picked him up and put him on a gurney and took him back into the back. So there's actually a fourth instance of something not quite being right. So I will call Gino, I forget his last name, up in Connecticut again. I will start there. And I will then pursue this from a legal angle. And I'm sorry, it's not directed at any one person. There's a series of bad judgment calls. And I understand that happens. But what is unacceptable is that no one is willing to take any responsibility for the decisions they made. So we're unfortunately going to have to let probably a court system sort it out for us.
And I understand that that's how you feel.
And I'm not going after just the medical bills. You've taken something very dear from me. And I'm sorry it's come to this. I really was expecting a different phone call this afternoon.
At this point, I obviously want you to be aware that we're here in Huntersville. We're pleased the champ is doing better day by day. We're going to try to get him home so that you can spend some time with him and try to do so in a way that is positive for him and positive for you. And that's the goal that we're working towards at this point.
Right. So you're already admitting he's not going to survive. And that's what Dr. Schillinger told me
yesterday. Yeah. He has osteosarcoma. And we
know no, but
that even after we take off the leg, that the cancer is still there. And it will, over time, manifest somewhere.
Right. We're not even going to get to that point. Dr. Schillinger told me yesterday that he's not going to survive what he's just gone through this week.
That is not the impression that I got from her, nor the impression that I've gotten. I mean, we're hoping that we do get his diabetes stabilized, and we do.
His diabetes is very stable. His diabetes
well,
was stable.
It has not been stable this week. It has not been stable this week.
The numbers they gave me this morning I thought were fantastic.
They're better today, but he was in a diabetic crisis on Monday night.
Because of the infection.
Required IV insulin. So his diabetes has not been stable this week. So we're trying to get it restabilized. So we're hoping to do that.
Right, but his diabetes got out of whack because of the infection, not the other way around. And that's made clear in
our future goals, though. Our goals are to get him stabilized so he's back on twice-daily insulin and regular eating. Our goals are to get him this infection under control and get him home. We cannot guarantee that that's going to happen, but those are our goals. And then the osteosarcoma will eventually spread. I can't tell you, and no one can tell you, when that will happen. But we are still working towards the goal of getting him back on twice daily insulin and getting him back and getting him on antibiotics and getting this infection under control. Those are our current goals, and we're still very actively working towards that.
Okay. Well, Dr. Schillinger painted a very different picture to me yesterday.
And like you just said, his numbers are better. He did eat last night, which I think is the first time that he's eaten since he's been here.
No, he's eaten every time I've been there. I've brought food, and he has sat there and eaten it.
I was told that he didn't eat during your visit on Wednesday.
He has eaten every single time I've been there with food, every time.
I'm sorry, I was misinformed because I was specifically told that he didn't, but then I
was and,
here.
And ate a fair amount. I ran out of, you know, he was eating chicken hearts on, what's it say? Today's Friday.
Well, either
right?
way, we are working towards accomplishing those two goals and getting him home. I can't guarantee you that we're going to get there, but we're working very hard at those two goals.
Okay.
So we will continue to keep you updated and informed and involved with his care. And we want him home as soon as he's ready to go home so that he can be at home where he's more comfortable, as you have said.
Well, and I don't mean comfortable. I meant comfortable, meaning make him comfortable for his remaining days.
I agree, but I want him to be at home. As
right.
Long
oh,
as
I do too.
To love him.
But my whole point is those days have been significantly cut short, more so than the sarcoma.
And that's certainly your opinion, and you are entitled to have that opinion.
You don't think what he just went through? Dr. Schillinger told me point blank yesterday that she does not expect him to recover from this.
I'm not sure. I wasn't present during your conversation. I'm not sure what she meant. I can't.
Well, maybe I took it the wrong way, but when somebody says they're not expected to recover from this,
I don't know.
That doesn't sound too good to me.
About his cancer, we're working towards him recovering from his current situation. If she thought that there was no way he was going to recover from this current,
that was my impression.
Crisis,
now maybe
we would
I
tell you to put him to sleep. We would tell you to stop. If
that's
we
what
that he was.
I believe she
better.
Was telling me yesterday because that's
no,
what I. That's what I texted to Dr. Marshall.
I think you misinterpreted because she and I discussed this case extensively yesterday, and she didn't say, I think you should put this dog to sleep, which she would have said to me.
Well, yeah, she didn't say to me point blank, you need to put him to sleep, but it was, I interpreted what she said to mean that you're going to have to make a decision.
And if he doesn't improve and we can't get him out of here, then you will have to make a choice. But if we continue to have him improve and his blood glucose numbers look better and his infection gets under control with the local therapy that we've done on the wound with these daily bandage changes and all of that, then our hope is that he does survive this current crisis and he goes home on medications for some time period. That's the goal we're working towards. And if we didn't think that there was some hope that we would achieve that goal, we would be talking to you about that. There is hope that we will achieve that goal. There is not a guarantee.
Right. I understand there's no guarantee.
So we're doing everything we can, and there is hope that we're going to get there.
Okay. Well, I think I'm supposed to be up there in somewhere between 4 and 6 to see Champ, try and walk him and get him to eat and whatnot. So
Okay. It'd
be wonderful if he came home tomorrow.
I agree.
Or Sunday, or it'd be just wonderful if he comes home.
Yes. All right. Well, I hope you have a good visit with him.
This is probably going to be a very weird question, but I mean, I don't have $9,000. I don't think I should be responsible for $9,000. Who do I put an attorney in touch with?
They can contact myself or they can contact Dr. Bob Bergman, who is the medical director at Matthews.
Bergman?
Bergman.
Okay. And what is your number at the, just call the main number of the?
Yeah, just call the main number. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Bergman is at Matthews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks for the update. I wish it was what I wanted to hear, but.
I know.
All righty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks.